Welcome to the Wine and Wipes podcast, a place where new moms share their experience and new dads can listen in to learn what your partner may not be telling you. With 5 questions, you will learn what is going great and what she truly needs from her partner to feel supported. All with your host, Greg Coral, results coach, author of The Gifted Storyteller, school principal, and oh yeah, he's a dad too.
Greetings, parents, and I hope you are having a fantastic day. Welcome to the Wine and Wipes podcast. The purpose of the Wine and Wipes podcast is to give new moms a home and a place they can listen to what other new moms have experienced in the first 1 to 4 years of becoming a mom. All our moms have children under 4, so the information and experience is relevant. Today we hear from Bree and what has been going well on her journey as a mom. We'll also learn about the difference between a partner who doesn't work and a partner who clearly does. Also, stay tuned at the end, where you'll hear about Bree's business and her startup with her current partner, Chris, and they'll talk about the Social Academy for Women, which is hosting a free conference online called Find 'Em and Keep 'Em for women who are seeking an amazing life partner. Let's listen.
Welcome to the Wine and Wipes podcast, and thank you for taking the time to help out new parents on their journey. Why don't you start by telling us a little about yourself? What is your name? What do you do for a living? How many kids do you have, and what are their ages?
My name is Brittany Reed. Right now, I'm in sales for a company that helps women with their dating life. I have one child. She's about 4, and if you ask her, she'll tell you she's 16.
What would you say is the biggest joy about being a mom?
I think the phrase, kids say the darndest things, is a complete understatement. My kid says downright crazy stuff. One day I had makeup smeared on my face when going swimming. I asked her, do I look crazy? No, you look great. So later, I see myself in the mirror, and she said, or I tell her, Mary, you told me I didn't look crazy. I was just kidding. Thank you. Thank you for that. I love you so much.
She loves you no matter what.
She does.
Mm-hmm. In terms of supportive. Aw, it's really sweet, especially to have like a partner and buddy, which really the 4-year-old age is perfect for. That's when you start kind of having a little friend, for lack of better words.
Oh, yeah. No, best friend. No lie. I think she's probably my number one fan.
Well, I'm sure you're her number one fan as well. Thinking back in terms of actually, so like 3 to 4 years ago, when you first became a mom and you had a really small baby, and thinking about that first year and even beyond then, but really concentrating in the beginning, were there any specific routines that you had that you created or found that made your life easier, whether it was a bedtime routine or a diaper back routine, any type of life hack that just helped you get through that initial time?
I had 2 diaper bags. That might sound a little excessive, but I legit had, well, I mean, 3 if you count my purse. Every month I had the whole diaper bag. But I had 1 packed in my car, and then I had 1 ready to grab, and then I had, like, extra stuff in my purse. Baby wipes. Baby wipes is a mother's best friend.
Absolutely. So basically setting yourself up with multiple almost stations of diaper bags, anything else that you did that with, or just diapers and wipes?
Nope. Change of clothes. You never know what's going to happen. I think I always had like an extra shirt for myself, an extra clothes for her. I think I had like 2 changes of clothes for her in each bag. I remember her dad would sit there and be like, she doesn't need all these clothes. And she says, you don't even know. She really does. We use them.
It's interesting that you said that because I've heard moms say that they've had multiple diaper bags or multiple bags of clothing. You're the first mom who ever actually said you brought multiple clothes for yourself as well.
Oh, yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Very good point. Actually, it's something I didn't think about. Thank you for sharing. The next question actually goes to what something you just actually said. So did you have any challenges with your family in regards to your parenting choices or style? Did anybody pressure you or question you, as you kind of just mentioned, as to why you were doing things the way you were doing? And how did you deal with that?
Yes, actually. My grandparents, I went to go visit them. Mary was about three. And I promote her being self-sufficient. I mean, not to say that I won't help my child, but, you know, if she wanted something, she'd bring it to me. At the time, I was laying down because it was pretty early. We were jet lagged. And she brought me a gallon of milk. Told me, she's like, Mom, I'm thirsty. She brought me her cup and she brought me the milk jug. So I poured it in there and she went and she put the milk jug away.
What?
My grandfather came in there and was very livid. He was like, you need to get up and you need to tend to your child. I'm like, I'm not ignoring her. I hope you understand that. Like, she told me she needed something. I filled that need and she put it away. Like, there was no problem in that in my eyes. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm more than willing to get up and give my child what she needs. But at that point, there was just no need.
So
yeah, there are things that she could do, like she would do them.
And in general, how did you, like, in other words, when something was told to you, whether from your grandparents or somebody else, how did you respond to that? How did you deal with that kind of pressure?
I remember the initial reaction. Like, my face grew red, like my body turned hot. But I had to remember, like, that's from a different time. Like, things are changing. And I had to approach that gently because, you know, this is family and their feelings are important too. However, they're not wrong, but neither am I. It just takes a level of understanding and kind of communicating, like, hey, I respect how you did things, but this is how I'm doing things. So without disrespect at all, because, you know, I mean, what they did worked, but what I'm doing works too.
Mm-hmm. So just holding your ground, acknowledging their feelings, but at the same time holding your ground and holding steady with the choices you're making.
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. In terms of partnership, what are 2 to 3 qualities that you love about your partner in terms of raising the child or wish your partner had? It can go either way, or it can be both.
One of the things that I really appreciate in my partner is the fact that at the end of the day, we take the time to reflect. If Mary's done something that we didn't necessarily know how to respond to or even handle, we would handle it one way and then we would reflect on it and we'd ask ourselves things like, okay, how can we handle it better? If this continues to be a problem, how should we approach it? Things like timeout and disciplinary styles or even positive reinforcements, like that's a lot of stuff that we would sit there and we would reflect on and try and take different advances on all the time. Like now we're on a positive, we're doing like a sticker chart, like, good job, you did this. Like, oh, you said please and thank you. Good job, sticker, you know, positive reinforcement.
Gotcha.
We take the time to be silly. It's one of my favorite things. Like, we'll play hide and seek in our house with Mary. So it's not always work, 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 even though we work from home, which can be really hard on her. Because a lot of the times, you know, we're serious parents and sometimes we take the time to be silly with her, to let her know, like, hey, we see you, you're here. And we acknowledge that.
And thinking back to when you first became a mom, how could your partner have better supported you? What are some things that could have been done? Or again, one or two things that were incredibly done.
So that's a little difficult for me because at the time my partner now isn't my partner then. My daughter's father then, he was very loving, very supportive, but no offense to him, he was little clueless on what to do as a parent, or even have it help me as, you know, we just started this journey. I felt like a decent amount of time I was kind of just doing it myself because I knew how to do it and he didn't. I don't even think that it was something that he could have helped because I don't think that I effectively knew how to communicate, like, hey, I need your help on this. It was pretty much like, if you're going to help me, help me.
And reflectively looking back, so you could have communicated, in other words, what your needs were a little better. And if you can, like, almost like a genie in a bottle, like one wish, he could have been more supported if he just did this one thing, what would that have been?
Probably, I don't know, hold the baby while I, you know, took a shower. Help me with the chores so they can get done. Or watch the baby. I'll do the chores. Sometimes I just needed time to, you know, take care of things that needed to be taken care of. But those things are hard to do when you have a newborn.
Yes. So basically splitting, like consciously splitting up the responsibilities in some way or another.
Yes, we're a team. I wanted a team.
Got it. Okay. And lastly, what advice would you give a soon-to-be mom, and what advice would you give a soon-to-be dad?
If the baby cries, it's okay. I think one of the hardest things about being a parent is hearing your child cry. And I don't know, a lot of parents deal with colicky children, but it's okay. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to take a step back and to breathe. Even though that child's crying, you're not failing. It may feel like you're failing, you're definitely not. And that's okay. And I said that goes for mothers and fathers, you know. Sometimes the fathers will sit there and see the mother is about to lose it and they don't know what to do. But I mean, comfort the mother, because it's gonna be okay.
Thank you so much, Bree, for sharing your journey and for sharing your wisdom so that other mothers and fathers can start in a stronger, more prepared way to raising a child. Have an amazing day.
Thank you, Seth. Hi, my name is Bree with Social Academy for Women.
And my name is Chris with Social Academy for Women. And this Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, we're going to be hosting a free workshop for women, for single mothers, for anyone looking for help, companionship, a partner. We're creating a workshop called Find Him and Keep Him. So there are other dating coaches. There are plenty of other people in the world who help you find great guys. But we found that really what they're doing is teaching a lot of lines and gimmicks and text message techniques. What we're about is teaching psychology, social engineering to not only help you find the guy, but find the right guy. We're teaching skills to ensure that the time that it would normally take someone to show their true colors, about 6 months, we actually dig deep, find out if they're compatible with you in literally less than an hour. These are the types of techniques that we're talking about. Life-changing, never dealing with the wrong partner, never second-guessing your relationship types of things. Find him and keep him. And if you'd like to attend, if you'd like a free ticket, free admission, all we ask is that you fill in a seminar somewhere plugged in this episode here. But that's what we're going to help you. So if you're a single mother who's worried, you know, maybe you're dating and you're on your own and you're like, what am I going to do? I don't have time. I have a job. I have kids. We are going to help you solve that problem radically quickly. All you have to do is show up Saturday the 13th. Details after the survey.
And there you have a great example of a woman who had a very difficult start with her previous partner. And then with a different partner, it changed her entire life. Remembering, one of the most important aspects of this podcast is for men to listen in, to hear what doesn't work for women, and also to hear what they need so that you can be an even more supportive and better partner for her as she transitions to motherhood, and that you can create a family unit that is supportive towards the child. And remember, moms, while there may be times you feel lonely or confused or unsure what to do, you are not alone. While billions of women have had children before, we understand this may be your first, and the first time you're dealing with this experience and figuring things out as you go. And that's why we're here to support you. So make sure to reach out to some of the moms on our interviews. And of course, you could reach out to me and I could always forward that information along. As for the dads listening in, I thank you in advance because I know you want to become a legendary father. Quick reminder that the Legendary Father course is available at legendaryfathermap.com, where I take you through the steps on creating your best self so you can be a model for your baby. Create an amazing day, parents. Please visit wineandwipes.com to provide feedback on the podcast, request to be interviewed for the podcast, and connect both with me, Greg Coral, and my guests. You can also connect with me at greg@thegiftedstoryteller.com or on Instagram at The Gifted Storyteller. Remember, change happens when we take what we learned and then put it into action. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. See you soon for the next one.